And the Bazaar hotline number is 818-817-0021. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and let's go to the Bazaar line. You are on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello, sir. This is Mark from Missouri.
Hey, Mark. Whereabouts in Missouri are you?
I'm just leaving Columbia, Missouri, actually.
Okay, great. What's going on, Mark?
Well, when I heard your Bazaar hotline tonight, I had a story about a thing I witnessed when I was a teenager. I'd just gotten out of high school and was getting ready to go into the service, and wanted to earn some extra money, so some other boys and I were putting up hay for an elderly couple that lived there close to us up in Iowa. And the gentleman that we were working for was an older fella in his 70s and farmed all his life. And he wouldn't nothing do. He insisted he had to help us put that hay up. So he'd drive the tractor and bale the hay, and we'd load it on the wagons. And then when we'd go to the barn, we'd get up in the hay mow where it was hot, and he'd unload it off the wagon onto the elevator and send it up to us. Well, that's what was going on, and we heard him yell. And we looked out the door of the hay loft, and he grabbed his chest and fell off the wagon on the ground. And, of course, we were just kids, and back then they didn't have CPR training and that kind of thing.
Right, right.
Kids our age, so we were pretty panicked. We came running out of the hayloft and started yelling for his wife to call the ambulance and went to see what we could do. Well, next thing we knew, we looked up, and here she come on the fly out of the kitchen door. And she didn't call the ambulance, George. She came running out there, and she said, "Johnny, wait for me." And she got down in the dirt beside him, and she took his hand, and she laid down. And they both died right there.
Oh, my God.
But the part that always, it was bizarre, I guess, which qualifies it for this show, but it just seemed to me like almost a blessing at the same time or a miracle, because when they died, now they decided later, my mom worked in the medical field there and knew the doctors that examined the bodies.
Uh-huh.
He died of a massive heart attack. They never determined what she died of. But the good part of it was, even though he just had a massive heart attack, when they were laying there on the ground, he just had a peaceful expression on his face, and she was smiling. And then they just died.
It's like a Romeo and Juliet story.
Well,
with a twist.
It was. It impressed on me how much someone could really love someone else. It just was.
Do you think she
did my entire life?
Oh, absolutely. You think she died of a broken heart and she was just able to just do that?
I think she wanted to be with him that bad.
I've never heard of something like that where somebody,
I've talked to ministers about it. I've talked to professional medical people about it, and nobody has had an adequate explanation for it.
There is none. I don't think you can. How soon did she die after she laid down and held his hand?
They were both dead within 2 or 3 minutes.
Unbelievable.
It was just. I've seen a lot of things, but never anything like that.
No, my gosh, and for some young kids like you were at the time, you're right. You never forget that.
No. It influenced me
when you said that.
A wife to how I've treated my children. It's just, and how I treat other people. It just had that much impact.
And it sounds like it still has.
Pardon me?
It sounds like it still has this impact on you. It hasn't gone away.
Oh, no. No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
That's one of the...
There's, there's never anything a day goes by that I don't think about that and think about how lucky that makes me. It was just wonderful, I guess.
Well, thank you for sharing that with all of us. That is one heck of a story. First-time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Good morning.
Good morning, George.
Hi.
This is Kenny from Punta Gorda, Florida.
Hi, Kenny. What's going on there?
Well, I've been able to listen to you because there ain't no word down here. So, I've been the last 2.5 years, I've been on a spiritual journey, and I've done Course in Miracles. I've read Wayne Dyer. I've read Deboch. Right now, I'm reading A Voice of Knowledge by Don McGill. But anyways, I just wanted to tell your listeners that that I absolutely believe that what we're going through right now is was made to happen, and it's gonna be a lot better when it's done and over with. You're supposed to have a Susie Ward on there a couple months ago, and I guess you never did have her on there. But I've been reading the Matthew books, and his last one was June 21st. I've been waiting for his next one now, or May 21st, excuse me. But everything he's been saying that Matthew's been telling Susie has been coming true. I mean, the economic situation, the way things are going with the earth, and that we're heading into a better spiritual, a higher vibration, and things have got to go bad before they get good. But
that's true. But when did they get good?
When they will? They said before 2012. That's what he says. If anybody really wants to be interested, read the Matthew books and his messages. He's got messages for about the last 4 years, and it will. The one thing he says is don't fear. That this is what our government wants us to do, is put in that fear, because it's one of the worst negative energies there is.
Absolutely.
And that will keep us. That will keep us where we're at. If everybody is afraid, that we will not be going up. But there are so many light beings, which is, I'm a UFOlogist that you've never, probably the most red one that you've never heard of. I mean,
you probably are.
I've been interested in flying saucers since 1960. I just listened to Larry King on here tonight with some more guests about Roswell. Mitchell was on there, and it's coming out more and more. And if you sit there and look at things that's happening, like North Korea destroying their nuclear their nukes, I mean, everything's going that way. But it's going to take time. But
That's right. It's going to take time. And it's interesting that you say 2012. That year just keeps coming up, doesn't it? Let's go to the Bizarre Line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi. Is this George?
Yes, it is.
Oh, sorry, George. Kind of blew me away. You're quick.
Are you sorry because it's me, or just sorry?
No, I really enjoy your voice. You've got a very calming voice. You should be a hypnotherapist.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But anyway, back in 1990, at that time I had only been married a couple months. We were coming home from having dinner and dancing, and it was rainy out. And as we were going down the road, we saw a guy at the side of the road walking down the sidewalk with a box over his head.
With a box, and just a plain old box.
Just a box, because of the rain, I guess. But you know, I said, oh, Greg, let's pick him up. He said, okay. He said, we'll get him a motel room. And we pulled right up on the guy, and he stopped and looked kind of startled, like he wasn't sure. And I opened the pickup truck door, and I said, hop on in. It's too wet out there. And he put his box in the back of the pickup truck, and he got in, and, you know, we were making conversation. It's too wet to be out. We'll get you a motel room. Well, for some reason, it was a small town in Nevada, a mining town. All the motels were booked up. So we looked at each other, and Greg said, should we? I said, well, we can't leave him outside, and we took him home. And at midnight, I'm fixing bacon and eggs for the both of them, and, you know, we put the guy on the couch. When Greg came to bed, I said, boy, I hope he wake up tomorrow morning.
Well, I was going to say, you were pretty trusting.
And he said, oh, my God, what if he's a serial killer?
Oh, my God. Why did you do this?
Oh, you just can't leave a human being outside.
Yeah, but you know what? Nowadays,
I'd think three times. But my husband was a driller. I wasn't worried. I figured, you know, at least the guy had beat him to death, and I could make a getaway.
I bet you went to sleep with one eye open.
I know Greg did.
Yep.
But the next morning I got up and I fixed them both breakfast. And, you know, I figured, well, leave the guy some dignity. I'll let the men talk together. And I was in the bedroom, you know, straightening up the bed and cleaning the bedroom up. But I had the door open. And I'm listening to these two hold a conversation. The guy said his name was Teddy. Because Greg asked him, what's your name?
Right.
He said, my name's Teddy.
Teddy.
Teddy. Like a teddy bear?
Yeah.
And Greg said, so where are you from? He said, oh, I got a small piece of property up in Montana. And he said, really? Well, how do you get around? He said, I jump on railroad cars. And Greg was pretty fascinated. But as I'm listening to them continue their conversation, this guy was so articulate. And he sounded like anybody's college professor. And I'm thinking, is this the same guy with the box on his head last night?
Yeah.
And Greg came into the bedroom, and he mouthed the words, I'm going to give him some money. And I just shook my head, yeah. And so I hear Greg, you know, sit down beside him, and I heard him say, I want you to take this.
I got to tell you, by the way, what great people you two are. Unbelievable.
Well, bless your heart. And he had slid a $20 bill across the coffee table. And he said, do you need a ride to, you know, to get to the railroad? And he said, if it wouldn't put you out. And Greg said, sure. And he said, honey, I'm going to go give Teddy a ride to the railroad. And
are you comfortable with Teddy at this point, or do you still think, you know?
No, I know I had made it all night. You know, it's morning now. And the guy sounded, like I said, he sounded so intelligent. So anyway, when Greg came back, you know, we were talking about how articulate this guy sounded, that, you know, this guy was educated. What's he doing with a box on his head? And we looked down at the coffee table, and Greg said, oh, look, he hadn't taken the money. He did not take the money. So anyway, about 5-6 years later, I'm watching TV, and a broadcast comes across the screen. Ted Kaczynski was arrested today, suspected of being the bomber.
No. Thinking, no.
Yes. And I'm looking at TV, and I'm thinking, this guy sounds familiar. And when they said that they had arrested him in Montana, it hit me.
Oh,
and I said, oh, my God, that's the guy we had on our couch.
You had the Unabomber in your house.
I had the Unabomber in my, and I'm telling you, he was so intelligent, other than the night before when the box was on his head.
Unbelievable.
That's a true story, George.
That's bizarre.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
All right. Man, you get them all, don't you? Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. Good morning. Hi, go ahead.
Oh, good. Great call you've been having tonight. I really like this.
Oh, no. Listen, I'm going to put you on hold. Tom, get his number. Call him back. I don't want you to hang up because you'll lose. You'll never get back in, but your line's bad. And I want Tom to call you, and we'll get you right back on. And just let me know that you got him. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Tim from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hey, Tim.
I listen to you on WTAM 1100.
The monster in Cleveland, I'll tell you.
Yeah, But I wanted to, your very first caller talked about UFOs and fuel prices, I guess. But she didn't really say where she was getting her UFO sightings from or the time, you know, like a timeline.
Yeah.
But there's a good book. It's Time Life series of books on UFOs. And there's a correlation between certain medical discoveries and UFO sightings. One of the major ones was in the 1880s, one of the first wave of sightings that newspapers, you know, this was when newspapers would actually print the reports.
Yeah, that'd be those little tiny captions, UFO right. spot, yeah.
Well, the Creed's prophylaxis was invented. I actually wanted to let Art know about this since he had the new baby. But Creed's prophylaxis was a treatment to prevent babies from getting conjunctivitis of the eye, which could cause blindness.
Which was a big problem then.
Right. And it, in fact, a lot of people that were in institutions for the blind had developed that at birth. But by 1925 in the United States, almost all 50 states had laws requiring some, you know, form of eye prophylaxis.
So you think the UFO visitations are tied into these medical breakthroughs?
Yeah, that was the first one. It involved using silver nitrate. But then in 1920, there was the discovery of penicillin. Still couldn't use it wide scale yet, but they had it had been really, because the three men that got the Nobel Prize for it are all related. Later in 1944, they actually were able to use it on a wide scale. And those, again, were waves of UFO sightings in the newspapers.
That's interesting. Has anybody done any research on that?
Well, I did a little bit with this book, but after that, because the major newspapers won't report the sightings, it's hard to keep up, you know?
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. I never put the two and two together. Let's go to our next wild card line. You're up with us. Hello there.
Hey, George. Blair from Sedona.
Hey, Blair, what's up?
Well, I was listening last hour, and that fella mentioned the seeding spaceship for the planets.
Wasn't that incredible?
Yeah, I'm thinking Philip Kraft with the 600, you know, level center ship with the 40 level on the edge. It sounds like one of his crafts, doesn't it?
Might be.
Yeah. I wanted to expand a bit more on what Coast guest Ann Albert said back in May regarding a message allegedly given by Abraham Lincoln via channeling. And it was just four simple points, and I thought it was fascinating, so I wanted to share it with you.
All right.
The first one was simplify your life. The second one, stretch your body. Third one, eat good food. And the last one, this is interesting, work on smaller rather than large projects now in the coming future, especially in terms of personal relationships. And this came from the 16th president of the United States, allegedly through a trance medium.
Almost, if we live this way, we might do okay.
Yeah, I think the stretching of the body is very important right now, too, because when you stretch your body, that allows you to breathe and you're more whole, you're more relaxed, you're calm, you're not in a reaction mood, you're not in a kind of a fear mode. So I think it's pretty good steps to think about it. That was really what old Abe had to say, you know?
Absolutely. When I was younger, I used to do a series of Air Force exercises. Not that I was in the Air Force, I was in the Navy, but it was a little booklet, and they were a series of exercises that you just had to do in a certain amount of time, and then you build up. But they were really something, and I still do some of them now. You must exercise. You must stay in shape. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue along with the Bizarre Hotline right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Time to say hello to all of you listening to Coast on your favorite radio stations across North America. Streamlink members, hello to you, and XM Satellite as well, and then all the various chat rooms all around the country. Sitting there, chatting back and forth, listening to the program, NighthawkZone.com. Hello, happy July 4th and Independence Day to all of you, Imaginative Worlds, National Radio Club, Frog Form into Infinity, and all the others that are out there making Coast to Coast what it is today, the number one rated late night talk show in the world. And your weekend's not over yet. You've still got Saturday. And you've got Sunday, and don't forget, Ian Punnett Saturday, and I'll be here Sunday night. Only going to be in St. Louis for just a short trip, and then it's back to Los Angeles. On the 19th, I'm in Chicago for the Psychotronics Conference. All that information is on the coasttocoastam.com website, the speaking engagements to date. Let's go back to the phones, including the bizarre line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling.
Hi, this is Jay from San Francisco, California.
Yeah, Jay.
I just wanted to first mention that your show is really great because it helps me out a lot. A lot of people have had spiritual experiences, and I've had them too, and I thought I was the only one in this world who had them. And your show is really in need, and it helps a lot of people out, and I really appreciate your show.
Great. Our pleasure, Jay.
Well, let me tell you the story. It was in San Francisco, California. I was at a Christmas party. I was about 8 or 9 years old, and it was at the old San Franciscan Hotel, now the Ramada Inn on Market Street in San Francisco.
Okay.
And angel manifested to me and put a halo on me and said that there's going to be a demon here who's going to mark you with a 666 on your forehead. So in a few minutes, there were some clowns. They were putting party clown faces on children. You know what I mean?
Oh, I hate clowns. Oh.
Well, these were Satanists, and they were recruiting for Anton LaVey because the guy goes, before he made the clown face on my face, he goes, "Do you give the legal right to Satan?" And I, like a dummy, I go, "Yeah." I felt obligated to say that because I'm making a clown face on my face.
And you were what, 8 years old, right?
Yeah, 8 or 9 years old. So anyway, the guy makes the clown face, and he marks a 666, and then I see an image of Anton LaVey. And I see a spiritual image of him. I see of what he was. And then he put the 666 on my forehead, and the guy goes, you're marked for life. You do not belong here on this world. That's what the guy told me. And the guy looked like an empty spirit. When I had my halo on, it looked like he didn't have a soul in him. He looked like he had half a body that was sliced in half with nothing inside him.
How long did that affect you?
It affected me for many years, George, because after that, I saw demonic evil images walking by me like they were unpleased to see that I was here on Earth because I'm an angel of God. And I've had many manifestations. I know this that I am. I know this sounds kind of crazy. I don't like to tell too many people that, but there are angels that do exist in this world, and they're here to help people. And it affected me by many years later, I'd be at a park and I'd want to destroy children. And I don't know why. And it's like this one lady would come to me at the park and she would say, you know, you're a mark for life. I don't know what that meant. Then later on, another kid said, you're a mark for life. And I recalled the guy who was the clown saying that you're a mark for life.
Now, what did you mean by when you were at a park, you wanted to destroy children?
When I was at Dolores Park in San Francisco. And I seen them playing, and I start running towards them, and my images start wanting to destroy them.
Do you mean hurt them?
I don't know. It was just in my mind. It'd pop up. But I got rid of the 666 on my forehead, though, many years later by swooshing it away.
And now you are? Okay.
Now I'm saved. Saved, George. And wanted to let you know that there's many people out there who have given the legal right to Satan, and they don't even know it.
Well, you got to keep fighting. It reminds me of old Dr. Faustus sold his soul to the devil. And then when the devil came to collect, he didn't want to give it up. But it was too late. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
George, what's happening, man? You're the man, dude.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, I got a story about a shadow person, man, that happened to me about 7 years ago.
Okay.
With my little beagle dog.
The beagle dog, really?
Yeah, a little beagle. You know, I had a little beagle that my friend gave me. And I swear, sometimes I feel like I could talk to the dog. It's strange. But anyway, one night, me and my ex-wife, we had a real bad argument that night. And
that happens.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad. We said stuff that both of us were like, whoa. But that night, we made up, and we went to bed. Well, like it must have been like 2 in the morning, maybe 3, I don't know. My dog started howling. Howling, you know, and I got kind of nervous because people say when a dog howls, either somebody's going to die or they're looking at an evil spirit.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm right there laying on my bed thinking, what's wrong with this dog, you know? And all of a sudden, a dog started running around the yard because I was, you know, my room was right behind the backyard. You know, I could see my window was right there. And he would stop by my window and start barking like, rawr, 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 like real bad, running around. He did it like 3 times. And then a third time, he just stayed real quiet by the window. All of a sudden, I got paralyzed. I couldn't move. I just got paralyzed, and all of a sudden, from where the dog was at, on the outside, I saw a shadow come through the wall, like right through the wall, And it looked like, I don't know if you've seen, I mean, when you see a woman with a wedding dress, but I can only see from her waist up.
So this shadow you would think was feminine, not one of those with the hats on, the top hats that we hear so much about.
No, this looked like a woman that was going to get married, but except from just her waist up, I couldn't see her feet. And as soon, I mean, I started panicking. I'd never been so scared in my life, you know? And it only lasted, I mean, like 4 or 5 seconds, because it went right across the room from one wall. Then it went through the other wall into the hallway. And then I was still paralyzed. And then when I was able to grab my girlfriend's hand and squeeze it, you know, and she woke up. And as soon as she gave me a kiss on the cheek, it let me go. You know, I was unparalyzed.
What a frightening feeling.
Man, I've never been so scared in my life, you know.
And a little beagle, all is well, right?
Well, no, you know, funny thing about it, 2 days later, the little dog escaped from my house somehow and never came back. It was weird.
He probably didn't want to be around the house.
He probably, you know, because that house, I mean, there's a lot of things happening in the house. It was kind of weird, but, you know. Could I tell you just a real quick...
I've got to take some more calls because we've got a lot coming in.
Okay, no problem.
But we'll have more open lines coming up. They'll always be here. Go ahead, Wildcard Line. You're up with us. Hi there.
Hi. This is Rob over in KFI Land.
Hey, Rob, what's going on?
Well, I guess this line sounds better. I'm the one who had the opportunity. You gave me a chance to give a call back, or you guys gave me a call back.
Oh, that's right. You sound much better. Go ahead.
I had two things there, but I'm going to get to one. Your screener wanted to hear about this one himself. So it's about as far as getting money, having it come to you.
Yes.
Using $1 bills. And basically collecting one from each Federal Reserve, and there happen to be 12, and you can identify them by, you happen to take a look at a $1 bill, you notice to the left of Washington there's a seal with the letter A, and a little bit to the left of that you'll see the number 1 corresponding to, it's the first letter of the alphabet. Well, you get A through L, or 1 through 12, and put them in a safe place where you're not going to spend them, and it draws money to you, and it's been working. And I emailed you this maybe like about 2 years ago. And actually,
I don't know if I got it or not from you, but I mean, I get a lot like that. But how much money did you make on this?
Well, actually, when I did this one about 10 years ago, at the time, real bad financial straits. My wife is a cancer survivor and hadn't been working for a while. And actually, I picked this up through a coworker of mine, and she had all kinds of wonderful things start happening for her. But for me, it's not like money falls out of the sky for you, but the opportunity to make it actually becomes available. Or sometimes if people owe you money, all of a sudden they start paying you back.
That's a first.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it was because what happened with the lady who introduced me to this whole concept, she was going through a divorce and had this whole deal with her. Within 3 days after she compiled everything, her lawyer called her up and said, "Sit down, you're not going to believe this, but I'm holding in my hand a certified letter from your husband's attorney, and in it's a certified check for 10 months back alimony, and you'll be receiving the following for this other, you know, until, you know, she was going to be receiving alimony for like 5 years or so. And after that, she started to do Polynesian dancing or island dancing, and someone that we know had said, "Hey, do you think that your group could do a performance for, for my wife's 40th birthday party? It's going to be a surprise." So she did, and this guy happens to be a businessman, so most of his associates are also business guys.
Well, you know, let me tell you, that's a great story, and I'm glad that works for you. Glennis McCants, of course, swears up and down about her number 8, and it works. It really does. I had a chance to see her in Las Vegas at her speech and her conference, and she does one phenomenal job, numberslady.com. If any of you have to ever just match up relationships and things, just go to her website and learn. She is one heck of an instructor and teacher. Now, as you know, we've been conducting an experiment on gasoline mileage in producer Tom Danheiser's car, and we have him recorded his mileage in his car prior to the apparatus being installed. He's getting we've tracked about 18 miles to the gallon. Now the device is on the car, And so the numbers are going to be given out to you in the next week or so. We've got Tom there in the studio back in Los Angeles. Tom, have you flipped the switch yet? Are you running on that machine now?
Yeah, actually the other day I filled up and I flipped the switch on. I've been running for about a day.
Yeah. Does the car feel differently now that you're in it?
It's funny you ask that because I was asked that by the people that installed it. And, you know, last night I was driving after the show and I stepped on it. And I usually don't step on my car and go too fast when I'm driving. And I actually did notice something, a little something, but I told myself, I want to wait, you know, and ride this out. But okay. I did notice a little something.
A little pickup?
Yes, just a little.
Okay, so you're going to go through how many tanks before we get the final numbers with this hydrogen apparatus in there?
I'll go through one full tank, and it should be about another week or so, and then we'll know some numbers.
Okay, and then what we'll do is we'll share them with everybody. We've been getting emails, you know, over the past several months. And, you know, good numbers, bad numbers, we're going to share it with everybody, okay?
We'll tell the truth.
Great. Thanks, Tommy.
Okay.
Let's go to the bizarre line. We've got a moment of truth for you on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good.
This
Thank you.
John. Well, I thought this was a good moment. This happened 30 years in about 4 days ago.
okay. You remember it that closely. Huh?
Oh, yeah. And I have a witness who was standing with me. My friend Kenny lived downtown. We moved from Ohio to Oregon, and he lived in downtown Portland. And he said, check this guy out. It was about a half block away. Saw a black gentleman in the middle of about 12 other people. Had a shopping cart. When I got there, I saw they were full of philosophy books. And he was arguing with these overprivileged people who were making fun of him. His point was dead on, the point he was arguing. And he never faced me. I was to his back the entire time, and he was getting angry. All of a sudden, he spun around on his heel, pointed directly at my face, locked my eyes, and said, you are a kind young man. Don't ever change that. He said, do you see that mountain over there? He pointed at Mount St. Helens. And he said, that mountain will not be here in 2 years. However, you will not see it disappear. You will live 2,700 miles from here at that time. And then he never spoke to me again, and that's what happened.
Oh, my. And there's a prophet. There's a prophet. We should have gotten the guy.
No kidding. But I'd like to wish him a karmic blessing if he does or doesn't listen to a radio. Quite a few years ago. He was probably in his late 30s then.
And, well, maybe he does. Hey, thanks for the story. Let's go to our first-time caller line. We've got a little time before I want Neil Diamond to take us out this hour. Hello there. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yes, my name is Lawrence. I'm from the city of St. Louis.
Hey, Lawrence, good.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to make a little comment and everything. I listen to the show all the time. It's great. But, you know, about 2 hours ago, I was robbed here in the city of St. Louis.
Oh, no. Downward. Did you go down to the VP Fair?
Well, no, this was in the Central West End where I live. And a person who actually I knew, I gave them some money, you know, because I knew they were a little down in their luck and everything. And I was for clothing today, you know, to help them out and everything. Then they took all my money.
Oh,
I went, right. Yeah, I changed clothes. And I brought them back to my place, to give them something to eat and everything. That's, you know, I'm
gratitude.
You
know, gratitude, huh?
And, yes, and I gave him $20, you know, so here, you know, until you get paid again, because I know you're just getting back to work. And I come back out after change your clothes, and all my money's gone. I still got the blood. I just washed the blood off of me. But I got to give the city of St. Louis Police Department credit. They are excellent. They did stop and apprehend the person, but he did not have the money. He apparently got rid of all my, I mean, it's all my rent money and everything else.
I know. It's going to be difficult to prove. But at least you know one thing. He's not a friend. And be very leery of the kinds of people that you help. You know what? Build yourself an island and help the people you really love and the people you really care about. And let them go off and take care of the people they care about. And it grows that way. By the way, all of you who continue to send me the list for the Friday prayer group, when you send me the email and I look at it or I'll send a response back to you, you're on that list. This list is what I consider to be the list in the consciousness. It's in the cosmos. And I just want to remind all of you that every Friday, just take a moment of time in your day. Doesn't have to be long. And just say a little prayer or a little mass consciousness for so many people who aren't as lucky as you are. And they don't, you know, they're sick or they're financially not well off, and God knows that list continues to grow, and just do that.